Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welsh, Bogman. Today on the episode, we have got the Towers. Chris Towers from CBS is going to be joining us as our focus today is talking about total category thresholds. So, for instance, in a roto league, what do you need to get to? What does a winning team accumulate for home runs, for stolen bases, for RBI, for strikeouts? What does that look like? There's been a few articles out there in the past, Chris being one of them, that had put that together. It is a roto-based topic that is more widespread overall, and we can take the roto side of this to talk about head-to-head. I will say we kind of failed, mainly because there's a lot to talk about, and I did kind of want to sprinkle in, and Towers would have been a good person to do it, sprinkle in like the totals on points. But I mean, at the end of the day, I will tell you, points is a much easier conversation than what we're doing here, because points is literal point accumulation. All guys are just pouring on points. This is a different subject. How many homers does a winning team from like a main event NFBC need? How many has it been in compared to the past? And what can we learn from it? Well, that is what we're going to talk about as we've got Towers doing some work and Bogman put together a monstrosity of a sheet that is going to be available on our Patreon. And I told him, like, you should put together some articles and put it over on Fantasy Pros, because you've literally put together what could be a series of articles on point accumulation from like prior times.
I'll be honest, I did not think this was going to take me as long as it did, obviously. So I don't think I would have given myself an 8-hour project in, to work on in the middle of the night. But that is basically what I did. So the basic formula of what I did was I took, the 15 team NFBC baseline. It's 14 starters. So I multiplied that. That's 210 hitters. I went to Yahoo. I looked at their formula from last season. I ranked their 210 hitters, how they had it ranked, because I figured Yahoo's pretty innocuous. There's other places, maybe more trustable, whatever. But I think when you get down to 150, 200 players, it's going to be the same group, maybe a little bit of a different order, but the same group. So I grouped them that way, and the results were really good. I think it kind of laid out, it obviously laid out a stat line of this is what you want from each starter if you're playing in a 15-man league with 14 starters. Or you can go to your top 10 hitters for every 15-man league at the top 150 or the first two rounds or however you want to do it. So I used the Yahoo formula. There was a little bit of screwiness to it that I did have to fix, of course, but I think we'd have that from any site. So I did that by position. I did that by overall. Lots of work, and it will be available on our Patreon.
Yeah, go and check it out, intthisleague.com. Go on the Patreon. You can sign up today. You get access to that. Ranks, next couple days. That's what I'm going to be working on. We're going to have Prospect, Dynasty, the Redraft, all of that, plus our GroupMe rooms where you can have access to us, hang out with the community. People are starting up leagues, answering questions, whatever it is. That's also where we pull when we did like the NFBC draft or we do our mock drafts, which we're doing later in the week. That's all pulled. It all lives on our Patreon. I'll tell you, as people come and go, the LT level is like the best value if part of like being a part of the things and the community and stuff that is of importance. You're not going to, it's, you're going to miss some of that at like the sergeant level, the $5 level, get you ranks and stuff like that. These sheets, which is very cool. So just understand when you get in to the Patreon, just prioritize. You just want some of the stuff we do, my prospect ranks, these cool sheets. Sergeant is good, but you want to do a little bit more. Get in the LT, get active with the community and be a part of the stuff in this league.com. That'll take you to the Patreon in this league.com. And we're going to actually talk about a few of the baselines before we get Towers on. One of the cool things that Towers ended up doing was he did the early legwork pre-article before he ends up putting an article together of what the main event from NFBC, all the teams averaged out from last year, what the main event categories look like. So what did the all of the number ones, what was their, you know, number accumulation? What did that come out to? So we're going to take a look at that table. We're going to be talking through players, strategy. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I thought this was a really helpful thing. We already did the interview. You're going to hear in a little bit. But you'll just kind of get to wrap your head around just a lot of different stuff. And we're going to talk about our baseline thing here in just a second. There was a little bit of news. Well, actually, there's two pieces of news. Congratulations to Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton. Officially inducted into the Hall of Fame as we're recording this.
Did you see Billy Wagner miss by 5 votes?
Yeah. And I would reiterate, as I actually almost didn't tweet it because people just get so worked up, but I just couldn't help myself. I will reiterate.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Hall of Fame voting process is almost the stupidest thing in sports. As I put in my tweet, it's not the dumbest because we still have game blackouts, but it is the not so distant cousin of public Pro Bowl voting. It is horrible. I hate it. I think there should be a committee. The right and you people, oh, the writers are ridiculous. They agendas and Levitard in years past making statements and. It's just nonsense. It's nonsense. So I hate the process. I have no respect for it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Whatsoever. I love seeing great players get inducted. Joe Mauer deserved it. Adrian Beltre deserved it. But I also hate the whole like, oh, well, we make sure like David Wright is 5% so he can stay on the ballot and we can get this guy. And then the thing that set me off was Foul Territory head of media when
Rosenthal talking about, yeah, I don't know about Alex Rodriguez. Like, I'm so done with it. Like, if you want to talk in one breath about how David Wright, let's keep him on the ballot, but you're just so not sure about Alex Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody says. It's a whole cheaty thing that everybody gets into, that Barry Bonds is gone off of it and doesn't get in. It's crazy. So it just brings this up. But everybody knows, like, I, as much as I'm sounding like I care, I just think the process is stupid. Yeah. But I have no other affinity for the Hall of Fame, where everybody gets really worked up. They're doing a panel on the Hall of Fame for PitchCon. Pia is a part of it. He's like, oh, I'm excited about that. I'm like, good for you. Like I don't know what I would go on, and I would just be a monster on it, because like, I don't care. That's all I would say is like,
I used to be super into it and all that. I just don't care anymore. Like, it's become a political thing, and I'm not going to buy into it. I don't care. So, look, they say, well, it's not the Hall of Very Good. It's also not the Hall of Good Stats or Great Stats. What is the name of it? The Hall of Fame. These guys are the most famous players in the game, whether you like them or not. So I don't get, put them in, don't put them in. It doesn't make any difference. And people get so mad about it. You know, yeah. Well, I'm not going to forget Barry Bonds because he's not in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to forget.
Yeah, Alex, I agree. The process is what annoys me at this.
Yeah.
Point. Like, I just don't care about, like,
the discourse is what I don't like about it. Yeah, like, yeah, it's just, who cares? You know,
yeah, they're like, oh, this guy didn't make it. And it's like, okay, it's silly.
Are you surprised Barry Bonds didn't make it? Are you surprised Alex Rodriguez didn't make it? They weren't likable. And so the people that they were not likable to are the guys that are voting.
Well, it's
so
because, that's and that's why it's like a fan vote. It's essentially what it's gone. So it's like, oh, I don't like that guy. So it's silly. But congratulations to the guys that did. That was one piece of news. The other piece of news, more fantasy relevant. And it was kind of a shocker because there's little other tiny pieces. I'm just throwing it out. Aroldis Chapman signs with Pittsburgh. Doesn't affect Bednar, I think, in any way. Probably going to be a trade piece at some point, but that takes him off the closer market. James Paxton looks like he's going to be joining that six-man rotation to go with the Dodgers, which is kind of interesting because I think
we just listed out like six guys that could take that final spot, and now I guess it's just Paxton.
Yeah, I mean, they've committed to the six-man rotation, and he lines up as a sixth guy, but there are so many injuries. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, Yarbrough is there to maybe be long relief, but it kills like Gavin Stone or
what does Kurt, what does it do to Kershaw if he's coming back or not?
If he does, then I think that would be probably Emmett Sheehan taking a back seat. I mean, Kershaw's not coming back until July or whatever, so it would just like allow all these guys to pitch, and then maybe they kill innings on Sheehan and let Kershaw go. They're just gonna have this big rotation, so it's great for Paxton. He can't pitch big innings anyways because of the injury, so it's fine. But the shocker was Josh Hader being signed to a big contract with the Houston Astros, destroying Ryan Pressly's value, him being the closer, and the market now set. The other one I forgot is Robert Stevenson signed a big deal with the Angels. There's questions if he'll be the closer or not. But what's happened is you now have this solidified market of Josh Hader killing Ryan Pressly figuratively in fantasy to not having these other questions be big questions anymore. Evan Phillips. Okay. I think we're good now. Unless a trade happens, Hader was a legitimate concern for Phillips. That's done. Hader was aligned to the Texans or Texas Rangers a bunch. Jose Leclerc looks like he's in a better spot. So we kind of know what the closer market looks like now outside of any little goofy things that could happen.
Trades or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That could always happen. But like, I feel like a few new guys got solidified. There's less questions because apparently the closer market needed to shore up before we can get these other big players. So I feel good. Even though they're like the Angels situation specifically is a speculation. I have one DC where I got Stevenson, and then Estevez. And then in the other DC, I was up as Stevenson got, he signed, and I took him in like the 300-something, somewhere way out there, just in pure speculation of saves. So I'm in on both ends, but outside of like wondering, is someone going to come and ruin a situation? We kind of know what we're in for now. And the Hader thing really was a shock, but I mean,
it was
maybe the top closer now on the market. I know there was kind of like a Hader versus Edwin versus Devin Williams. I don't know, man. I love
Astros. Hader. He's going to win a lot of games. So yeah. It looks like Hader is in a very, very good spot. It really sucks for Ryan Pressly, obviously.
Or anybody in the draft.
I feel like this is kind of the situation that you thought maybe for the Cardinals, because you weren't really touching Ryan Helsley. Maybe you just don't like him as a player. But I thought that was a situation where you were maybe thinking maybe Hader goes there.
No, it's more that they just
like Helsley.
Well, like
Cardinals don't.
No, Gallegos. Like they went to Gallegos a bunch, even mm-hmm. when Helsley was there. I feel a little bit unconcerned. There is still one thing that's looming though with me. It's Emmanuel Clase and the rumors that have floated around about the Guardians maybe moving him. I would imagine that's probably more of a midseason thing, and it's not about him. It's about, could he go and ruin that Evan Phillips draft pick in the Dodgers? You know, that would be a team that would likely go and trade for an Emmanuel Clase right now with their wealth of riches. And maybe they still do. So I mean, all of this, but trades I can't control as much as I can Hader coming and ruining the market.
I feel like if you're a team with a decent closer that maybe is thinking about trading him, you got to wait to the deadline, because look at what the Mariners got for Paul Sewald last year. It was a big overpay, I thought, by the Diamondbacks. So, you know, and the Sewald played well for us down the stretch, you know, but still a closer. So I don't know. I think that you're more likely to see one of those moves at the deadline than before the season starts, unless there's some major injury.
Yeah. And unless the team was really aggressive, I don't know if the Dodgers would, I'm just arbitrarily saying, like, they would go and offer Miguel Vargas and Gavin Stone. I know that's ridiculous for like a contracted closer, but just follow me. I'm not sure that they'd be like, hey, we'll give it to you now for the whole season. And they wouldn't offer it if they're desperate on the back end of the year. I'm not sure that those things would necessarily change, but you never know. If a team were to come in, you know, really aggressive, maybe the Guardians would just pull the trigger, but that is one that could change it. But otherwise, you know, this is done. Hader's in a great situation. You could, for whatever reason, people were letting him slip because he didn't have a team. You can feel a lot more comfortable about it. That was the big signing. Let's see if February can hit and we've got a couple of the others that are going down. We're talking about, as we mentioned, the thresholds of all of these guys. That's going to be our focus here. No more news stuff. Is the threshold of players and like ultimately what that means. We're going to do a ton of that with Towers. There's a lot of theory in here. Let's just go through some of the baseline stuff real quick. Let's set the stage prior to getting Chris Towers on. And you had mentioned before, 210 is our key number. That is the number of active hitters that we're taking a look at. Active, and this is in the hitting side of it. We have a little bit of pitching we're going to do for you. But the active hitting side was 210 players. And we've got some different averages. So, Boggs, I'll let you go through them. Let's do the first three. The baseline is what the baseline player averaged over the top 210 players. And then we'll move down at 150 to 75.
Yeah, so if you want, you know, a decent baseline of these top 210 hitters, this is the average of all of these. It would be a 262 hitter who hits 20 homers, drives in or scores 70 runs, drives in 68, and steals 11 bases. That is the basic stat line. Now, if you're looking, well, okay, how many players hit the threshold in all five categories for this? It was only 23 in all of baseball. Hit that stat line.
And that's important. That's
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's important in just like, we're going to talk a lot about this. It will not be possible in multiple situations to actually get this player at a certain position. We're going to talk about what the average on positions are as well. You're not going to be able to get 2010 out of every single player, clearly. Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
But that's where the compensation comes back and forth of like, okay, you took a, you know, a 30 home run hitter that has no stolen bases, and then you take a 10 home run hitter with 30 plus stolen bases. You know, that's where you can find... Again, I'm dumbing it down, but this is kind of the process. At the end of the day, maybe it's just pure accumulation. But if you want to know the basic stat line of the 210, which muddies the water, this is the lowest baseline of any of the stats of your overall roster. Because as we go up
of your starters,
Of your starters, because as we move up into like, here's the top two, as you would expect, the 150, these numbers are going to get quite a bit bigger crazy. And I think, the 50, the top 50, the top 30, and the top 15 is more important to focus on the type of player you're getting than when you dig into the like 210.
So, yeah, like I said, 23 players hit all five of those in baseball last year. 52 guys hit four of these. So that's a lot. That's more than a handful. And 90 hit at least three. So they were lagging in the other. But a lot of those guys that weren't in the 52 that were in the 90 they're dragging ass on your average, or they get zero stolen bases, or they have no power. You know what I mean? So,
and the lame, I think everybody understands, but like 52 that hit four of these means like maybe they hit over 262, more than 20 homers, more than 70 runs, more than 68 RBIs, but they missed stolen base, one base, blah, 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 blah. You guys get
exactly.
Just so you know the concept as we're saying this.
Then should we move down to the top 150 here, Welsh? Yeah. So, and obviously the numbers at each get bigger the further we go down here. So top 150, that would be your top 10 hitters in your lineup. That's a 267 average, 23 homers, 77 runs, 76 RBI, and 13 stolen bases. So for that, it was 14 players hit all five. I didn't even bother to see who hit four and three. Just wasn't a lot. But also projections, and this is, you know, you and I always talk about, and I think everybody who looks at projections knows they're conservative, but, you know, 14 players hit this. We have 15 projected to hit five. Last year, 24 projected to hit five. But then when we get into the bigger numbers, especially
15 to cover all five categories, to hit higher than 267, more than 23 homers, 77, 76, and 13.
Yeah, so it actually wasn't bad. It's way less when we hit, you know, top 75, top 30, top 15. Speaking of which, if you move into the top 75, which would be your, you know, top five hitters on your team, now you're looking at 274. So we're jumping, what is that? 7 points in average, 27 homers, four more homers. The biggest jump is in runs, to 89 runs from 12, from 77. So 12, you jump 87 RBI. So you jump 11 there, and then 15 stolen bases. And, you know, just to let you guys know, 64 guys qualified and hit 274. 37 hit 27 bombs. We have 45 projected. 37 guys scored 89 runs last year. We have 40 projected this year. This is on Steamer projections, by the way. 40 last year hit 87 RBI, and then 56 stole 15 bases or more. So obviously they keep getting lower and lower. And then I'll skip 50 because that was just kind of an arbitrary number, Welsh. Top 30, so your top two hitters for a 15-man league. Everybody has two at this point, or at least that's what the math should be. 282 is your average, jumping up from 274. 32 homers, so five more, 102 runs, 97 RBI, and 21 stolen bases. And let me ask you something, Welsh. When you see that number, you know, those big numbers across everything here, does that make you feel more likely to take someone that covers more things? Or, I don't know, Aaron Judge is still really good. I mean,
I kind of know where you're going with this, but like you don't find that, like, that player exists. That here's a goofy thing. That player, 32 homers, 20. So that guy lives in like the first round, like the high end first round. That's Julio. That's, you know, the Carol. I mean, maybe there's like a Lou Bob in
Acuna
the
was
round.
The only one to do it last year, and he's the only one projected to do it again. And that's in your top 30.
I feel like I want to make sure I'm covering three really hardcore. Like, I want to go above. So I want to either hit over that average homers and stolen bases, or homers, RBI, and runs. That's something specifically I think Matt Olson provides. Like, Olson, like, blasts past what I need from those three averages of the top 30, knowing that you can make up the stolen bases kind of in other spots. I just think, like, being willy-nilly about it can be kind of tough, that there is something to say about going with extremes. Like, if you had the ability to get a Julio Rodriguez and then a Matt Olson, Julio is literally the guy that covers all five, and then Olson would be a guy that just blows out the water three of these categories. I like that versus where maybe like a Freddie Freeman kind of does all of this, and then like an Austin Riley kind of gets past three. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like, I'm more obviously, though, I'm excited about Julio and Olson more than I am like Freeman and Riley. But again, I don't know how much application there is out of this. And just throwing out this last one, the top 15, it's a little bit higher. It's essentially Julio Rodriguez, 291, 34 homers, 112 runs, 103 RBI, and 25 stolen bases. Like,
and
that is an elite, elite player. None of these are big shockers, though. I will say, boy, look at that batting average from 291 inside the top 15 on average. And then look how it drags down almost 30 points when you average out the top 210, and how bad your average can get dragged down from the up and delete. Even the top, I know we didn't do 50, but the average was still 275 inside the top 50. So that's a big drag.
And I think the application is, you know, the thing that I found the most interesting was looking through all these numbers. I went, okay, well, which one of these numbers for each level hit the least? And of the top 15, you know, your number one hitter for everybody, the guys that the one that was hit the least was 112 runs. Only seven players hit that last year. Four are projected this year on Steamer to hit that. Whereas, you know, you go down to homers, 15 guys hit 34 homers. 103 RBI, 14 guys did that. 25 stolen bases was a benchmarker. 24 guys did that. And then 291, 21 guys hit 291. So runs were the furthest margin. They're, I guess, maybe the most valuable in that early stage here. It does change a little bit as you go down. Top 30 was basically the same as that in terms of like percentages. Top 75, the difference between homers, runs, and RBIs is fairly marginal. Stolen bases. So in the top 75, it was 37 guys had 27 bombs. Your marker for runs is 89. 37 guys also had that. And then 87 is the RBI marker, and 40 guys had that. Whereas, you know, 56 had stolen bases. So they're still worth less than the homers, runs, and RBI, but those three are closer than the average. 64 guys hit 274, which was the marker there last year. And, you know, we'll talk about this with Towers a little bit more, but so many rule changes in baseball, so many different stats kind of moving. I mean, we'll get into a big stolen base conversation, but obviously homers have been different too. That's why I think instead of like looking at a 3-year average or 5-year average of recent baseball, you want to go back 1 year. I think that's going to tell a much better story than averaging out three previous seasons because of the rule changes and the differences of baseball.
Okay, so let's take a look at pitching real quick. We've got three different categories, and it breaks down to the having seven pitchers on your team. We've got a 7, a 5, and a 3. And so what it looks like in having those tops. So obviously, top seven starting pitchers on your roster. Your average had a 3.59 ERA, a 1.17 whip, 130 strikeouts per pitcher with 9 wins. Wins a little bit shaky. Wins are obviously going to be a little bit more aggressive as we move up. But pay attention to that number, by the way. Those numbers I gave you for all seven of your pitchers at 3.59 ERA, 1.7 whip. That's going to kind of come up into play almost to the T, by the way, for what Towers put together for the
We're going to save, I broke this down for aces as well as your top, but we're going to save those and talk to Towers about those guys. But this, I mean, honestly, doing this kind of taught me that projections are tough when it comes to ERA and WHIP. And I, you know, obviously you'll talk about you and Ariel Cohen talking about that as well on Fantasy Pros. But the reason I say that is because I look and this 3.59 ERA last year, 60 starters had that last year. But we only have 15 guys projected for that on Steamer. For WHIP, same deal. 67 guys had 1.17 or lower ERA last season. Only 15 are projected to do so. It's wild that it's so much lower in those. And then I go to strikeouts. 130 is the marker of this is, you know, everybody has seven starters in your league. That's the basis of your nine spots. So only two are reliever spots in this scenario, right? 72 guys had 130 strikeouts. 104 are projected on Steamer. So it's just like these numbers are not adding up at all. It's too little on the ERA and WHIP. It's too many on the strikeouts. So it just shows me how much harder it is to predict pitching from one season to the next because the projections are much, much closer to having the right total on the hitting side than they are on the pitching side. So, you know, you also have your stat lines. I did if everyone goes five starting pitchers, maybe you have four closers, or if you just want to look at the top five starters, the innings pitch jumps up to 140. Obviously, that's not something you're counting, but...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Welcoming back on the podcast, one of my very good friends who I don't really remember the last time he was on ITL, but I abuse my friendships of getting to do shows with people and I guilt and shame them in. And that's exactly what I did with Chris Towers from CBS, who I've done plenty of shows with over on the CBS platform. Towers, what's up, buddy? Sorry, I had to guilt and shame you and maybe bribe you. And
it really didn't. It didn't take much cajoling. I'm kind of like on a quasi vacation right now. I'm still doing the podcast, but football season ends. I have to take like 3 weeks off just to get my brain right. But I'm in baseball mode. We're heading ready for the baseball season, and I'm glad to be here. Thanks for
I literally had to just ask him. I'll also let everybody know. I was just like, hey, Chris, I miss you. I love you. And I'd like to do an episode with you. And he said, what day? And that was it. So he is not difficult. Towers is not difficult. And one of the great things, I was texting Frank about this. I loved this move. Towers gets to officially commit to baseball this year.
Yes.
On the platform. And I think that's great because you are a fun person to podcast with. You're a great, smart mind, but it is difficult having that brain translation from baseball to football, especially if you are doing how CBS does it, where it is all day, every day, lots of info. You and I know we've seen Frank's show sheets, the 21 pagers and everything like that. It's very intensive. So for you to be able to focus on that, it's a big deal, man.
Yeah, it's always fun when like I usually have to like drop off baseball in like mid-July and I always feel really guilty about it. And there's always a point where like Frank's like, oh, I'm going to take a vacation like the third week of July. Chris, can you host the show? And it's like, I guess I'll do all of that work as well. And it's like, it's like the last thing I do every year before I transition to football. And it's like, I kind of need to leave just because it's the work that Frank puts in the podcast. And to be clear, I put like 30% as much work into it as he does.
I have said this for a million times over. There is nothing more intensive than the CBS Fantasy Baseball Today show sheet. I know from firsthand.
It's a full-time job.
The sheet alone is a full-time job, not like the editing and not the hosting and watching baseball. It is the craziest thing ever.
Yeah. So
it's worth it.
I'm glad to be focusing on baseball. That's all I'm going to be talking about in 2024 moving forward. So it's going to be good. No more, no more forgetting people's names, you know,
referring to the
Arizona Diamondbacks players as Cardinals and stuff. No more of that, hopefully.
Well, it'll still happen.
It'll definitely still
happen. Hunter Harvey and Hunter Henry still screwing up all the time, and that happens. Speaking of intensive work here, I have two individuals here that put a lot of work into what we're going to be talking about today because we're talking about thresholds. This is an interesting concept because it's not something that a lot of people think about. There's also not a lot of work on it out there. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when you do the search of typing in, let's say, roto thresholds into the box, you're going to get a 2002 article from Towers. Yeah, 2022. That's my other crutch, by the way, 2002. And there's like maybe one other article. There's just not a lot out there yet. Mm-hmm. People do talk about that, especially when you start to get into like the, you know, dollar amounts and auctions and what you're trying to get to. Thresholds for everybody, as we mentioned in the open, we're talking about what did the best teams on average, what did their total construction look like? What is it that you are chasing? That has historically changed. As a matter of fact, very funny to take a look at the threshold that you wrote in 2022, Towers, to what the main events, which we're going to talk about, did in this year. There's some big number changes. And Bogman has put together a wild sheet of threshold information that's probably going to be turned into an article because he put all the work in, and we'll also have it on Patreon. So that's what we're going to be referencing today. We're going to be talking about the overall perspective of what your team is looking like, and then we are going to positionally break it down, maybe get some of Tower's guys that he is trying to pinpoint for some of these. But you know, this was something that you did a really good job at before, and maybe the work for this episode, Towers, is going to spark you to want to jump back into it because it is important to know what you're chasing mm-hmm. at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're ultimately like, it's worth keeping in mind as we go over these that like the team you draft, you can't just like plug your projections in and say, okay, great, I've got 330 home runs, I'm going to win the category, because 35% of your team is going to be dropped within a month and a half. And, you know, Aaron Judge is going to get hurt and it's going to change, but it's worthwhile to give yourself, you know, like, I don't think you know, when we talk about these, I don't think you're like trying to be number one in every category. Right. You know, I was looking at, I put together all the data from last year's main event, and like the guy who won the whole thing was like seventh in his own league in stolen bases, you know? So you don't have to win every single category in every league to win your league. And obviously, you know, we all know that, but it's worth keeping in mind that like third to fifth is like right around where I'm targeting for a lot of these, but it's good to have those baselines and to look at your team and, you know, we'll get more into it. And there are nuances to a lot of this, because when you're talking about like batting average, a guy like Luis Arraez is even more helpful than you might think, just based on the fact that, yeah, he's probably going to lead baseball in batting average, but it's also, he never walks. And so he just puts together huge plate appearance total or huge at bat totals. And so you have to keep stuff like that in mind as well. Whereas like Juan Soto might hit 320. It's sort of a less impactful 320 for your team than a lot of other players. So there's a lot of things that you have to keep in mind when you're having these discussions, but I think it's always worthwhile. And, you know, this is definitely going to spur me to, I've got the 15 team data from the main event leagues in NFBC. I'm going to find the 12 team data from CBS. I got to ask one of the people in the back to scrounge up that data, but I'll have something on CBSSports.com in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and I think like the Roto's fine. Like Roto tells us the story too, whether obviously head to head points or categories or whatever. It's a different beast in that, like, you need guys to just spark in a 1 week or 2 week perspective.
It's not a slow cooking. Like
it's not real slow fast. Cooking. But at the end of the day, the idea behind this is just for everybody to wrap their heads around the construction of what your teams are looking like. And like in the open of the episode, Boggs, when we were talking about it, it's interesting that Towers mentioned, because we're going to talk about his chart here in a second, but the chart we talked about at the open, Towers like, hey, 30% of your roster you're going to end up cutting, so it's not like having the perfect roster. Well, what we had talked about with, okay, here are the starting hitters. So we have the starting hitter averages where the top 210 average 20 homers, 11 stolen bases, 70 runs, 68 RBI with a 262 average. That was the average of the 210 starting players. Maybe your focus is more on, all right, I need my top 150. I need to make sure I'm getting the core of the top 150 players, which, by the way, is a higher batting average, higher homers. It's higher across the board, and you're kind of picking on that. And Boggs, painstakingly, you've put a lot of this stuff together. It's going to be interesting as we pair your individual breakdowns to like this first chart we're going to look at.
And the legwork is, it is a little painful. Doing the legwork, I'll admit that, but also it puts the numbers in your brain. So I do kind of enjoy the painstaking process. Like I said, Welsh, last night I worked on this sheet from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. and it was just this is getting done. I am finishing this sheet tonight. I'm going to bed when I finish, and that's what I did. And Towers, in your article, it's so good. In looking back in 2022, and I thought, the biggest thing in the first paragraph that you wrote, to me anyway, was last year is what you want to use when you're looking at these. You don't want a five-year average, really, because the rules in baseball have changed immensely, especially last year and, you know, the variation in homers from year to year.
We're going to talk about 30%. That in a second. That's a fascinating point because 2 year difference between what you needed to win and what the main event, obviously main event's a little bit different, but main event to what is in that article. Wait till everybody hears the difference.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. So that's, you know, that's another point that you don't want to, when you're doing this, you know, I could have gone back further and further, but there's really not a big point to it because last year is going to be most similar to this
year. The one thing that that we've talked a lot about over the last 5 years really is just how hard it is to win in fantasy baseball by fighting last year's battle. That's because, and hopefully we're reaching a point of somewhat stable equilibrium, but if you think back, I think 2019 is the big juiced ball year. And since then we've had big juiced ball year. We've had, even going further, I think 2017 was when they first had the juiced ball, like midway through the season, and then it gets juiced even more in 2019. 2020, we have the shortened season where minor leaguers didn't play and half the Marlins roster was gone for
Toronto's
3 weeks
playing in Buffalo.
COVID. And then, you know, 2021, 2022, some stability, although, you know, a lot of weird stuff happening with the sticky stuff ban. And then last year, obviously, all the new rule changes that, you know, especially stolen bases just went crazy through the roof. And so
would you agree, Towers, that that is more about the individual player than the actual stat line, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it before the season and it largely played out that way where there were more stolen bases total, but it really impacted a handful of players in huge, huge ways.
Yeah. And so let's take a look. So Towers was nice enough to put together this chart, which, again, make sure you're scouring CBS and his Twitter handle for whenever this comes out. You can find him at C Tower CBS, where I imagine this chart will be above it or a part of it. This is last year's main event. All the main events. This is what the average total looked like if you're looking for what the top team is. And it's a little bit skewed, especially if we compare it to that article 2 years ago, but you're going to get a couple points here. So here are the numbers real quick, hitting and then pitching. The top team, 267 batting average. Just pointing out, I guess, you know what? I'm going to compare it against the year before. 272 batting average was the 2 year ago article that Towers had put together. So batting average slips a little bit on the power. Yep. And we'll stop at the hitting and then we'll go to the pitching. 138 runs was the main event total for
1138.
I'm sorry, 1138 to 1117. So that kind of pairs out around the same. 330 homers was the tippy top versus 345 2 years ago. Everything else is kind of the same. 1,112 RBI versus 1,077, kind of same. But here you go. In 2022, you had 149 stolen bases. The top main event averaged 228 stolen bases.
Which so is crazy. A lot of those teams had Ronald Acuna. You know, he was doing a pretty heavy lifting, I'm going to guess.
I mean, if you had like Acuna, if you had Acuna, Estory Ruiz, and Corbin Carroll, you had almost your entire number.
Real quick, look at the gap between first and second in stolen bases, right? Mm-hmm. It's 20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
P8 swipes. The second to third is 10. Third to fourth is 8. Fourth to fifth is 7. Mm-hmm. Fifth to sixth is 6. You know, and then
I think that's just the Ronald Acuna effect. I think that's just how many winning teams Ronald Acuna was on. But like, that's something to keep in mind when we're doing this exercise. And you know, I have my main Roto league last year. It's a 12 team league, but.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
I did. I ended up winning steals by like 35 and I ended up in third place. And I think runs was the one category that I was way down on. And it was one where I kind of wasted some of those steals, you know, like that's one thing to keep in mind is like, you needed 228 to win your league last year. But if
you had steals and you didn't have runs.
Yeah, it was a weird team. I'm not sure exactly what it was.
You know, I think is interesting about this. When we talk about sticky, you know, like things that are, you know, going to carry over and that we can trust. Obviously, stolen bases are its own beast. And if you compare the bottom team, which the bottom team, the very bottom of the main event is closer to the 2022 stolen base total than the top number one team. Yeah. There's like almost 80 stolen base difference between the average you needed 2 years ago and the tippy top this year versus the bottom, which was 103. But my point is stolen bases and batting average are the two that have fluctuation. Mm-hmm. But I just did an episode with Ariel Cohen on Fantasy Pros. And I told Bogman this off air. I asked him, I'm like, what do you trust the least about hitting projections? And I kind of speculated maybe stolen because I think projections always get stolen bases wrong. Homers as well. And he said, you know, it's actually runs and RBI. He's like, it's the least predictable of the projected stats, yet they carry over the most. I think we put a big focus on, obviously we have to have more stolen bases, but everybody else gets them. Obviously batting average is hard to chase, but at the end of the day, making sure you have those core players, like you just said, Towers, that you're not wasting your runs, you're not wasting your RBI, which is kind of something, I don't want to get into the Luis Arraez thing, but I get frustrated with the Luis Arraez love outside of points leagues, is there is a lot of waste.
Oh yeah.
Great batting average.
He does one thing. He does it really, really well, but like,
he's kind of an albatross in the other four.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're going to get like, it gives you some flexibility because you can, you know, target some of those low batting average, high power guys and make up for it. But
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.